Good morning and welcome to the Explicit Measures podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are extremely thankful Thursday. That Tommy is still alive and here today.
I just want to give a friendly PSA for you car drivers out there.
Watch out for Tommy.
You may hate cyclists because sometimes they're hogs and sometimes they're in the middle of the road. And some of them, you know, they get a little selfish out there. But as one, what I'm asking is don't hit them.
So as a general rule, you're saying like, hey, it's probably not a good idea to hit the cyclist.
We talk a lot about best practices. This is one of those.
So Tommy, is this a people, process, or technology issue on this one?
People, technology, really.
Is this bike saving you money or making you money? What is this bike doing? Well,
the bike's going to make me some money now. That's for sure. So, quick little thing. Cycling yesterday as I normally do and going through. I'm literally on a bike path. So I did everything right from a cyclist point of view. It wasn't like I was running it. And next thing you know, like I see a Dodge Magnum coming at me, taking a left. And I was about to yell, watch where you're going. And next thing you know, I'm like.
So are you on the left or the right? Which side
I'm on the right hand side. And to the right of me is a gas station to turn in.
Okay.
And
you're in the bike lane going across like an entrance to the gas station.
Basically. Yeah. And he's turning left. He did not see me. Like I'm definitely on the, it's hard not to see the person. Okay. Basically I'm at near the end of the entrance. Like, so I'm almost past it.
Yeah.
So he took a really sharp turn in. So like I was, so he clipped the back of my bike. And next thing you know, thank goodness though he turned short, or I was near the end because I went right into like a curb in grass.
Oh boy!
So and I knew I was okay because rather than going like, oh no, I went, who hit me? Who hit me?
Which one of you fools?
Yeah. When the cops came and they're like, are you sure I'm fine? And you know, I'm realizing I'm my father's son because I'm like, as soon as the cops came, I went,
where's the Windex?
No, I guess I'm not doing 28 today, fellas. Like, you know, as an idiot. But yeah, so they're like, you're going to be all right. I'm like, yeah, until my wife comes. That's a fun conversation. Going, I'm okay. I'm okay. But I got hit by a car. So just as a friendly PSA, I'm going to be sitting with ice today. Just try your best to not hit people on bikes.
That's rough, man.
Seth's quite an avid biker. You've got a pretty nice bike too. Well, Seth, right?
I do. My older brother is like, he's like a Tommy all the time. And he went for 5 years, I think, until he ran into a parked car himself with his hand and like messed it all up. But eventually, it's a thing, which is probably why I stick to parkways and stuff.
Is it more of a, it's not if, it's when? Is that kind of how it works?
My wife I'll just say it's kind of a win.
I mean, you do everything you can to make sure it's not a win, right? Yeah. Like blinking lights and, you know, Tommy, did you have blinking lights?
I did. Yeah. And the sun was out. I have my flashlight.
And the bike is, from the picture, the bike is blazing red.
Blazing orange and blue. Yeah.
It's very bright.
Hard to miss.
It's not like a green bike and you were biking in a park kind of thing.
Right,
It was a red bike.
No camouflage there, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I suppose the good thing is you just have some ice to put on legs as opposed to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Facial reconstruction.
Other things, yeah.
Wear helmets.
Could have been a lot worse.
Glad you're okay, man.
Yeah, very much so. Best part was I'm very clumsy, so I believe my 35 years of being clumsy made me excellent at falling. So
like a cat.
Well, no. I'm just
you land on both feet. I'm fine. I'm good.
The end of the day, like my wife's worried about my head. I'm like, my head's fine, kind of thing. So it's near the end of the day. My kid has M&Ms, and I'm showing them how to throw them and catch them. And of course, like the last thing I do before like the end of the day, like I threw one kind of behind me and I went for it, hit the hallway, middle corner of the door. That hurt more.
Falling off the bike. I thought you were going to say you threw one and it went right like way down your throat and you were choking on it. And you were like, well, I survived the bike crash, but I choked on an M&M.
So I want to rewind. I want to rewind a second. Your first wife's questions were probably.
Well, my only wife.
Your first questions from your wife. Your wife said was probably. Is your head okay? Are your hands okay? Okay, I get back to work, right?
Basically,
still work, right?
Okay. You're right. You're right. Okay, good.
I can find something else to do. Yeah.
You can make it down to the computer where the money's being made, right? Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah.
We're all right.
I told her to install one of those chairs down the basement doors.
Yes. Like yes.
Yes, we're exactly. All right. I'm happy. I am happy to be here. I'm happy about the conversation today. I'm happy about user groups and jams and all the things.
Yeah. We should get into some other announcement things that we have going on. So it's a work in progress. I'll say that. It's not quite there yet. But we have a couple announcements, so we'll get in really quick. We've been really focusing on accelerating the community, pushing into the community more. There's a lot of great articles. There's a lot of really interesting things that the community is developing and building. And we'd like to, again, kind of push and promote. There's a new link out there from PowerBI.tips. It's called jam.powerbi.tips. So for those of you who are wanting to check out, you know, what we're doing on the community, we have created a handful or have grabbed a couple reports across the internet, one around the ideas.powerbi.com. We're basically scraping data from the ideas website and letting you search that and easily find the most popular ideas, the most commented ideas. And then we also have another report for the Power BI release wave. So Alex Powers has built this report. And from that report, we're able to embed it into our website. So you can go see all the latest features coming from Power BI. I got to be honest, guys. I have a hard time finding the Release Wave website. Every time I Google it, it takes me like 2020 Release Wave. So I was like, I need a shortcut to get to what is the most recent Release Wave information and how do I get to it? So that was what I did that. So now if you go to jam.powerbi.tips, you can see there's a Release Wave already appearing there. So you can easily go in and just see the most recent Release Waves on things as well. So that's another option that you can go in there and see. Check out that as well. My favorite by far has been the one called Bookmarks. And let me give you an explanation. Like, what this is, a hand-groomed list between Tommy, Seth, and myself. We are finding the best content that we can find on the internet. Stuff that we find that's interesting. Stuff that we find that's like, hey, that's an article. I wish I could read that. Or I got to put a bookmark for that somewhere. We are always finding articles. Tommy had collected well over 4,000 bookmarks 6,000. From like 2016. 6,000?
Yeah.
So there's 6,000 bookmarks in here all around Power BI. So it's literally like Google for your Power BI only searching. You can go in there and we have tagged things. We have tagged it by desktop, by service, community-based things, you know, GitHub. And you can search by tags and you can search by, you know, content articles that are out there. And you can just find anything. So there's a ton... There's very few articles that I see that Tommy hasn't already tagged by at least 8 a.m. in the morning because he's tagging stuff like crazy. It's just
going to be the same. Like, what's the difference between this? And I agree. I'm super stoked about this one because it's a curated list, right? This isn't just an RSS feed where you plug into different sites. Like, you put eyeballs on this and the article's good, right? There's some value in it. This is just a huge searchable repository, right? Like, just... Yes. Fantastic wealth of information. Yeah, it's a fun one.
This goes back to one of our real early episodes. We talked about what are your favorite tools to use, and one of them I said was Raindrop, and it's a saving service. It's kind of like Pinboard or Instapaper, but what the features that it has available are incredible. And I like, this is one of my business dependent, my personal dependent tools out there. And again, allowing you to save things easily when I find an article. There, you'll find in here forum things from the community site that are really insightful, GitHub links that maybe are really helpful, any articles that are coming from our feeds that I find on LinkedIn. And now we're all doing this because that's part of the community. And we've talked about this. We wanted a centralized place for not just who's writing it, but what's out there.
What content's being created. Yeah.
So it's powered by a service called Raindrop, which... The search feature in here is absolutely incredible.
I think the tagging is kind of cool too. So we can go in and we can create a link or bookmark, and then we can tag it with, okay, here's a, this is a bookmark to a GitHub. And you can go see, okay, here's a, so I just found one today. Kursky Tech is a website, and it was talking about bringing data ops to Power BI. And so just talking about, you know, he's going through a series around how to, build your own custom connector and use all the APIs and go hit data and go grab information. He built an open source API connector for the PowerBI.com API list. You want to go get reports, get data sets, get apps. Boom, done. You don't have to save your credentials into an API call inside a Power BI file. Now you can go use his custom connector that'll let you go grab all the data directly from the Power BI APIs directly.
And I think we have an article coming up. For example, I just searched Deneb into the bookmark on Community Jam.
Oh yeah,
30 articles, not just random articles, 30 things that we've read that we were like, this is really good. I need to go back to this that you have available for you. So it's, I mean, use the search feature, but no, I think we're all excited to provide this for the community, but also for people who are writing this stuff.
Totally agree. Anyways, community, we want to say thank you. You guys are amazing. You guys are creating tons and tons of really good links out there. And we're trying to kind of get this in the hands of more people because people need to read this stuff because it's really good. So excellent. Any other kind of announcements we have, Tommy? I think, Tommy, we got one here for a meetup.
So we are 1 week away, which is kind of scary at this point. We are 1 week away from the Chicago Power BI user group that will actually be located in Chicago.
And an actual event.
An on-site event, but it's not just that. Marco Russo and Alberto Ferrari pleaded with us to come. No, that's not.
No, they didn't. They're not. They're like, hey guys,
would you like us to grace us with your presence?
Exactly. So, but they are coming on site to downtown Chicago. All three of us will be there. We're going to be putting it on, and there's limited seats. I think there's only 5 left right now.
Yeah, it looks like right now there's 40. It's 45 limit size right. for the event. So only 45 people can make it. We are about 40 right now, so there's only 5 left. So make sure you want to go see Marco Russo and Alberto and have an Ask Me Anything.
Right.
Make sure you sign up.
Yeah, and both of them, and they're never together. So 2 quick housekeeping items with that. If you signed up and you have not paid, you will be getting a message from me. There is a fee. Also, please make sure you check the policies, Microsoft policies about from COVID to everything else you need to do to get there. Yep. This is not just signing in on Teams anymore. So just quickly make sure to run through that on the description. The event is, we sent it on YouTube chat. It'll be in the description. So make sure you run through that. Make sure you pay. We'll see. And there will be dinner and there'll be food sponsored by Power BI Tips.
Yeah. We'll try and make it easy for you. Lots of deep dish pizza for Tommy.
Maybe Jimmy John's.
Excellent. Awesome. Any other kind of announcements before we get into today's article? All right. I call crickets. We'll go. All right. So let's move on. So today's article was found by Tommy. Tommy, you want to jump in and give us kind of a brief summary of the article? And I think this is going to be a really good discussion today.
So I'm really, really excited for this conversation today. This is another one of our favorites, Enrico Bertini. He is a professor at Northeastern, I believe, in Boston. And the article, we'll make sure to send it on YouTube's and the links. But really what it's going over is this idea of data thinking. And he noticed a problem or a gap in his students' ability to think about a problem and then translating that to a visual. And like basically requiring them to formulate an analysis and a goal, generate a series of questions, correspond that to a model, and write what that would represent, the visual representation. And he's seeing a lot of discrepancies, a lot of problems with that. And he's saying, I think this is a larger problem than we think. A lot of times we focus on the wrong things. And this is a really big conversation for us as Power BI pros, because he's not talking about Power BI. And you think of the learning path for all of us, all of us who started in Power BI, nothing was around data thinking or asking the right questions. It was the technical side. So this is going to be a really heartfelt conversation, I think, for the three of us.
Seth's laughing because he's seeing things in the comments.
Yeah, you think it's heartfelt. I want to get stuff off my chest, man. Like when you threw this, dude, this frustrates me, right? Like this is super frustrating from a, not only like a management perspective, like with folks, because I think a lot of it has to do with what Enrico is going through, right? Like he has this frustration and wrote this blog because in his classes, he was driving at visualization and trying to get his students to ask the right questions and develop the right visuals. And just the fundamentals of asking a question that makes sense or understanding the data set enough to make, you know, an insight out of it is where he's exasperated, right? Like trying to like think through like what are the things you can teach students to help them understand what they're trying to do before they just throw something into a visual. And there are so many parallels, and I think it absolutely is applicable even in businesses, many businesses across the board, that people just for some reason don't have this skill. And we're calling it data thinking, but I would argue that this is like critical thinking.
I think, when you read the article here, I think there's some other pieces here that are even more fundamental. So, you know, there's a potentially a, you know, again, people who haven't been looking at data and trying to critically think about what the data is doing. I think he makes a point in here, and he goes kind of towards the middle of the article. He starts talking about, you know, when students were looking at this stuff for the first time, they would make some data aggregations or transformations, and it was kind of just obtuse. It didn't really fit a story. There wasn't a way of stringing multiple thoughts together to kind of, you know, how can I use this data to drive for some sort of action? So there's, to him, there in as he gets through the article, he starts talking about there is a failure he felt like on his side, that as he teaches the students, he goes, I think it was my own teaching that could be potentially detrimental. There's a fundamental analysis or you know, thinking capability that needed to be learned first, and then you can go into figuring out, okay, does it a pie chart or a line chart or whatever. So I think there's this thought, this processing of, you know, can I look at information, can I see data that's there, and step back and kind of have empathy potentially, and thinking about what is the broader question, what is the bigger insight that needs to occur, how can we teach that critical thinking first? Because once you understand those higher level questions about what you're trying to accomplish inside the data set, then you can come back and more critically think about creative visualizations or how you want to represent the information as a story. Because if you don't understand the bigger questions, you can't fabricate the story to draw people along to what you're trying to build for them, or having them build actually at that point.
I want to read one of the brief parts of the article,
because it's
so profound. Students have a hard time coming up with a coherent set of questions. They seem to solve the problem mechanically. There's no holistic sense of what is an interesting question and how to tie questions together in a coherent narrative. For a while, I thought it was just a matter of explaining how a good sequence of questions could be designed, but the problems were way more basic than that. Students don't even know how to formulate a question properly. They're often vague and sometimes even meaningless or obtuse. Mm-hmm. This is huge to me, because I think I can hear or see myself in this a few years ago, or even now, without intentionally thinking. This is not second nature, right? This is something I think
it's a learned skill.
It's a learned skill.
I'd agree.
But I think for the Power BI developer, and again, all our learning paths, right? Unless you came from Noriko's class and now are now focusing on Power BI. I wonder what percentage of Power BI developers are struggling with this, because I think no one's going through that learning course, or no one's actually having this information to learned. There's no, besides like the Delta Associates that you did, Mike, how many actual classes or learning series or articles are there out there if you're going into Power BI and this is something in the forefront, or even something that you can learn?
I think people could get there. I just think I definitely think this is a learned skill. I think this is something you can learn. I think you can learn it two ways, right? You can spend a lot of time building things that didn't work, and you start refining that and, you know, creating things that start having that formulated data story. But that provides that requires a lot of like trial and error to some point, right? You're building something, you see people use it, failed, that didn't work so well, let's try again. You kind of keep doing that until you kind of get better at it. So I think you can learn it just kind of by doing these things and figuring out what's working on there.
My argument,
I would say, like, from a training standpoint, there needs to be more training and more critical thinking around this training. And again, it's less about what can the tool do And it's more about what should you be doing and transforming with the data? Like, those are the kind of questions. And I think, you know, I had some really great mentors and people who were very smart and very deep thinkers. When I was back at my corporate, you know, job for a while, we had a marketing department that was super critical about thinking about what is the data? How is the data being handled? And that's, you know, a lot of encouragement for my team was made around, okay, how do we know what success looks like? A lot of the metrics we were producing was, let's try and find root causes in the data as to why things were selling or not selling. And so we had to be very critical. I mean, part of this too is there's so much data. How do you know which story in the data is the most relevant story? How do you understand which pieces of data are most critical? And I'll give you an example. One example that we used or we talked a lot about was market share. So if you look purely at year-over-year sales, the total amount of units that you sold or the total amount of dollars you sold, you could have a year where you lost money. You did not make as much money as the prior year. But if the total market shrank in size, like if everyone who's selling things, and this is, happens a lot in the retail space when you start looking at like who's producing goods, and there are some kind of, you know, governing bodies that give you analysis around where do you sit inside a larger pool of products. They share their sales data basically to a third party, and then you can see how you compare against everyone else. The whole market could have shrank. You could have gone from, you know, 10 million units down to 5 million units. Okay, well, everyone's losing. They're all not selling as much as they were last year. Okay, so that's not really the question we should be asking. What we should be asking is, what was my market share, right? So if we sold, if last year we sold 10 million units and I had 5% of that, I have 50% of the market share. If the size of the market shrank down to 5 million units, I would expect to have 2.5 million units being sold at when the market shrank to retain my same market share. But if I go up or below that, now I'm gaining market share. And the thought being is, when the market comes back, if the total size of the market, you know, grew again, I would hopefully retain that level of market share as the market grew again. So to me, there was a deeper analytic that we were always thinking about. Was, it wasn't just about how much stuff we sold. It was about, what was our market share and how are we competing in that market share capability.
My problem is, I have a question. Okay, go ahead. I have a question for you. But the problem to me is not so much that people don't have the skill. I think it's a greater one where people don't even know this skills exist, or this even is a skill to learn. And Seth, I know you manage.
Mm-hmm, good point. How do you know when you don't know?
Right. How do you even know this is something mm-hmm. you should know? And I think, Seth, you're part of an amazing team. You lead an amazing team. But I mean, is this something people are even aware of?
So before I answer that question, I think Greggy B makes a really good point. He in the chat, he's like, I feel like we need to either replace this word student with most people, or we need to recognize that we are all students. And it's true, because
I agree with that.
The frustration that I have, I could also look in the mirror and point right back at myself in certain areas of the business, right? And the frustration, I think, comes from working in ecosystems around data where people aren't engaging, right? And maybe they don't know how to engage. Maybe they are only used to being told what to do and how to solve the particular problem. And you can build reports with the bare minimum understanding of data, right? Because somebody else is going to verify that what you're producing, you know, is right or wrong. I guess where my mind went, and I'm going to paste it in the chat, like, was more along like the how do people develop these skills? And I think it's two part, because this kind of ad for a service, right, outlines some of the key factors, I think, of how you start to teach people to think in general. And there's a lot of crossover, if not like direct crossover, with how do you understand data? How do you understand the business behind the data that you look at every day? And what this article kind of points out are some really interesting points I'd like to get your guys' feedback on as well, where just listening through them, right? Mm. Practice active listening, ask questions, break down problems, be mindful of emotions, think for yourself, visual mapping, keep an open mind, and get involved. And I think for me, what stood out right off the bat, right, is practicing active listening. like we've had podcasts where it's like you talk about are you a note taker? How do you engage? What are the questions that you ask, yeah. etc. Like I'm a note taker because when I'm in conversations where I don't know the business, I'm just absorbing. Tell me like what it is your needs are, you know, what is the data set? And I'm asking tons of questions about the data, right? Before that conversation, hopefully I've got access to the data beforehand, but then I can start to do this like mental flip that we talk about all the time as developers, right? We know what the data structures look like on the back end. We know where to, you know, go consume it, but we don't know all the meaning behind it, right? And then we talk to folks who only know the meaning, right? And their interaction with that data is in an application or it's in an Excel spreadsheet or, you know, whatever the case may be. And there's this kind of merging of the minds that only happens when you as a developer aren't thinking completely about how you're solving like the data problem, right? It's absorbing the meaning behind the data that you're looking at. And I think that's one of the most key points for me, because when you're doing an active listening, as opposed to thinking about how you're going to respond, how you're going to like solve the problem, you pick up on the nuance a lot of the time of the information that starts to accumulate and build over time that drives towards the right, like different questions, right? There's the curiosity part of it. And that's maybe where I think he was driving with this data as well, is like, you're not even asking the right questions, but you can't ask the right questions unless you're engaged and like actively listening to what people are telling you about the frame of reference in that data that we're talking about.
I love this. The first four I would want to focus on, because I think those are, to not use a pun, but the most critical here. Constantly I tell training is, or people in training is, you're in therapy. Like we do therapy for people and we have to think that way. And I think part of it too is when we are in those situations of working on building a report or providing a solution, people see us as the BI guys, the data guys. There's the box of what they can do. So that's all I'm going to, in a sense, communicate with them. And too often, that's basically how the conversation goes. Like, well, I need a bar chart or I need this. And we're thinking in the same mechanical way. Rather than thinking about this as like, well, let's not talk about Power BI. We're not talking about data. What keeps you up at night in your job? What makes you successful? What do you look out for?
Those are the kind of questions right. that I want to lead with.
Yeah.
Get those
and,
first.
And I challenge, and I have to challenge people too, whether it's a team of BI or the people requesting that we're not thinking of reports. We're not thinking about data at all right now.
Yeah.
And they go, well, why? You're the data person. But that's so critical for us. And being able to listen, and this goes back to empathy, but trying, and just for us, it's not about the data at this point. It's just, maybe it's the keywords, like product quality comes up. Okay. Like, you know, and you don't have to think about the model, but think about what's important to this person. How do they make their decisions? If they got promoted, why would that be? If they got fired, why would that be? It's probably going to revolve around some data, but I love this, Seth, when I'm looking at this, the ability to ask questions. And like, I try the first 25 minutes, and this is hard for me because, you know, everything becomes a question of data. And especially even in my own life, like when we're doing a house project, like, how would the model look for doing a house project? And so it's the same, it's the problem I think we all deal with, but being able to just focus on the person or that team, what are they doing? You know, like, focusing on them. So I really do love this.
I also, you know, I think something that was brought up here, very interesting, like, Chris Wagner brings up here in the chat, and he goes, there's been, even our school system kind of teaches to a certain degree, right? So the people we're getting into the workforce, or that are coming into the workforce, are trained to learn towards the test, study to the test, right? Here are the standardized testing things that we're doing. And so instead of, you know, encouraging critical thinking skills, which, you know, it definitely happens inside the education sphere, but it's more around like, can we get everyone to pass the test? So when you teach things to pass the test, I feel like the emphasis is on getting those core skills and getting people through the tests, as opposed to, let's really talk about what critical thinking looks like here. How does that get taught? And then looking at, you know, if I think about that concept and think about new people coming into my company or companies or any company for that matter, there's always this continued flow of like new people at some degree, right? You're always going to get people to kind of roll through. It's going to potentially the department grows. You're going to bring people in. So as you think about this critical, you know, data thinking skill, how do you regularly get people to think about data or have thinking data skill sets? And you need to build a pipeline in your company to absorb people that are doing that well and having them teach and educate people that are new to that space and getting them to think critically about it. I'm thinking there's almost like, I mean, Tommy, to your point, there's not a lot of training out there. And at the very end of the article, he talks about, you know, I'm thinking about developing a new course called Data Thinking. And I feel like if he did that, if that course was produced, I'd be like, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Let's run it. I would pay for that. I'd pay for everyone to go through the data thinking course. And that's part of, you know, an onboarding process. Go through this course. This is how you encourage your mind to think differently about critically thinking about data.
Can we explore this a little when it comes to the training side of it and
okay.
The learning side of this? I don't have the answer for this at all, but I do want to have the conversation with you guys on, there's no standard training. I think we could all assume there's really no training that the majority, I would say 95% of Power BI developers never get in data thinking or critical thinking. Would you think that 95% is too high? Where would you think that is? And I want to start there because this one course, I'm not sure I'm all for, but we'll get into that. What percentage of people in the developer or the Power BI world probably have never had any standard training on critical thinking or data thinking?
Well, I mean, I think this data thinking is becoming a more prevalent topic because we now have tools that are easier to do this. I think you would always, I mean, right? I think you would say, I mean, this is how I perceive it, right? Before Power BI, what was I building visuals in? Excel, tables in Excel. That's what I was doing. But where else was I getting visuals from? So I would say, like, now that we have a new tool, the tech, again, this is like the people process technology thing here. The tool has changed. And even my thinking, like when I got introduced to Power BI, the fact that I could have a bar chart that I could click on that would change the data on the page just blew my mind. It was just, I was flabbergasted because I was only used to being inside Excel, and Excel was all a bunch of static visuals. And if you wanted to change anything, you had to put a bunch of slicers on the page, and you could click the slicer, which would then potentially interact with visuals, which would then change things. So it was much more clunky in that respect. So to me, the tooling changed, which then afforded me more ability to think more data critically around what the data story is.
So I'm going to challenge that. I think, and I've voiced this multiple times, where I think there's a concern with the tool and the features where we focus more on the feature side of it. We're like, look, it can filter and interact with things.
How look, cool I can make a bookmark.
Yeah. And
but we why?
Focus on that. And also remember, we're old farts. There's 7 years of graduates who only know Power BI. They were like, Excel, why would I ever need to use Excel? Who graduated in the last 7 years where Power BI was already there. Mm-hmm. So these features were always there, and that focus. I would really think that one course doesn't solve this. One simple data thinking course doesn't solve this. I think where I'm really having the problem, if you look in the Microsoft Docs or really any Power BI user story, developer story, this is not part of it at all from a standard point of view. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you would agree with me or disagree.
What would be, right? Like formal training in critical thinking. Like, yeah, I would argue I've never had formal training in critical thinking, right? It's a learned practice mm-hmm. over time. So, but even then, I would say there's still a large percentage of people that aren't effective critical thinkers, right? Because the two other points that kind of I see repeatedly, and it correlates into data as well, is I think in general, all of us, Greggy, all of us have some challenges breaking down problems and thinking for yourself. And the way I think about those two things are like, even if I can get on the right task of like understanding what the business wants, you still have to make that mental jump into the data itself. There's technical challenges. There's modeling that you need to do. There's a whole bunch of things that you need to compartmentalize and take from the business layer all the way back. And what I've seen is many, like you, sometimes you have teams of people that are doing that, that process development, product teams and PMs and, you know, defining the business reason and, mm-hmm. and you're creating just the technical, but you have really clear guidelines of what you're supposed to go build. And when you broaden that to you having to do everything, I think that's where some of the challenges of like, okay, I'm lost. Great. I asked a bunch of questions and I like, they have this need, but how do I correlate to actually building out that data model on the back end? And that's where I think the second stumbling block comes in a lot of the times, where thinking for yourself, I equate that to like actually working through the problem, right? I think a lot of people, all of us, I'm reiterating Greggy's thing in my head as I'm talking, all of us at some point in time have a challenge working through a problem, right? And I think in general, what I see a lot of is if somebody has the answers for you, you will go to them for the answer or direction before actually giving it the college try yourself, right? Like test, iterate, come up with solutions, and then present the solutions. We've talked about that a lot. Like that is something I drive at. Like I want my folks to not ask me how to do something in an area that they've been working in for a year or two. I want them to come up and say, I'm working through this problem. Here are the two different directions we can go. Do you have a preference on how I implement it? Right. That is a completely different kind of layout of like understanding, like to me, they're understanding how to break down the problem. There's just multiple different solutions and they would like some guidance on like, what's the best implementation strategy versus I'm stuck. I've figured this stuff out on the data, but how do I go solve the overall problem? And that's where I think thinking for yourself and following through is part of that process of, you know, all of these critical thinking steps that I see the most gaps in when it comes to the individual contributor.
So I want to explore that, but you thought of something, or you at least raised a concern or a thought in my head where I wonder if this is the technology where, think about the one developer who's building a model and having to create the relationships and do the DAX. And now you're asking that person to also critically think. Like when we're creating a model, that's not necessarily critical thinking, so to speak, as much as we're getting a request from someone and we're like, okay, I have to create, okay, this model's unstructured. This is unstructured. This is unstructured. I have to create all these DAX calculations. That's usually where our focus is on a scoping call. And so we're not on the data thinking side of it yet, or at least on that critical thinking side, thinking about what we're going to actually visualize. We're just trying to focus on, a lot of people are dealing with the unstructured data. Is that a detriment for us to think critically, or at least to have this framework of data thinking, our focus on modeling? So
I'm not getting hung up on this, but I'm feeling like, based on time, what you're saying there, I feel like I needed a more clearer definition of what critical thinking really is.
Yeah.
And so I'm again, I'm going immediately back to Google and figuring out, okay, let's find an article that some random person wrote on the internet that can help me formulate my mind here around this. So, you know, bada bing, here's the, you know, critical thinking is the intellectual discipline of Critical thinking is the intellectual disciplined process of actively thinking and skillfully conceptualizing, applying or analyzing, evaluating information as a guide to belief and or action. And I think when we talk about like the phrase we use, insights to action, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, we're communicating to people, hey, there's an action-based portion of what we're trying to do here. So I think, again, focusing, if I'm breaking down the critical thinking piece of this, I really like the idea of this action-based piece of this. And we're talking about changing some thinking, or we're trying to influence people's thinking to get into, how can I take this data and produce action from it? To me, that is like the upper echelon of what we're trying to accomplish here. So thinking in those ways is applying critical thinking skills here. And let me give you a practical example of how I do this in my life, right? Chris Wagner is talking about here about root cause analysis. What is the root cause? And I think in certain educational spheres, you get more of this than others, right? In my engineering degree, 100%. We were always doing root cause analysis. And actually, that's part of the process around building things as an engineer. You always go down to like, okay, this thing, and again, mechanical, we break stuff. Mechanical engineers make a thing and then we destroy it. That's like what we do. It's so fun. So we would build bridges, we would build little models and stuff, and then we would just kind of rip it apart. And then we figure out, okay, what failed? And then we go down to what is the root cause of that? And we kind of keep going in further till we get to the answer. And I think it's that process of saying, okay, I have 100 things that potentially could be the problem here. How do I weed them out and go down to like the couple or the handful of them that are actually causing my issue? And I'm thinking very, very critical here around like, you know, I would model parts in 3D. And then I would apply stresses on them. And then I would watch where the stresses increase. And I would have a graphical visual in front of me that would say, oh, well, I made the part that had this, you know, design feature on it that was not smoothed out enough. And therefore, there was a stress that occurred. And if I applied so much pressure, that thing would break. And so then I could redesign. I would use my critical thinking, the data I had in front of me, to make better informed decisions around what I was building as a product. And so I feel like that's the same thing that we're trying to do, but yeah, now with data. So I think it is definitely some industries focus on this more than others.
So if I'm hearing you both correctly, to both the point about you kind of seeing your team and from the engineering, this data thinking is not so much unique just for critical thinking and data. This is something that you do. Yeah, yeah. And I think you're onto something here where this is kind of a current, if you can't critical think in a project, if you're building an application or you're building a report, it's the same problem or the same skill. Am I hearing you both correctly on that?
I think when we start talking about, like, I think what I'm trying to say is critical thinking is that's part of that sphere of education or career based, right? So I feel like there's a lot of critical thinking type skills or critical thinking people in that industry. And so that's what's pushed me to kind of really think critically around a lot of these other things. In addition to, I've tried to, you know, push myself into like, what is driving for action? And I think just that kind of thinking is where I'm going at here for some of this.
Yeah. Is critical thinking a skill?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. It is. Okay.
100% it is.
Right. Because, and I would say it's critical thinking to some degree. It can, I think, be part of your development process, right? So if you have a clear grasp on understanding the business and you have this wild west of like, how do you take raw requests and data and build reports out of it, let alone like data consolidated together, but actually drive insights? All of these things need to be in play, right? So I think to some degree, you can develop your report build process around active listening. You go and engage with the customer, right? Here's some questions you can ask. You can guide users or your developers to do the same repeated actions over and over. Where I've found success, albeit I'm still frustrated, right, at times, mm-hmm. where I've found success is when there's a breakdown in one of these skill sets, right? I can't break down the problem. Right. Or I don't know what questions to ask. I don't know what we're supposed to be building for the report. The individual is not working through the problem and producing solutions. Right. I whenever they come with a question or want direction, I flip the script. What would you do? Right. What do you think the next step is? Mm-hmm. Right. Force them to go through these motions to.
You may have the answer, engage, but you want them to think about it.
Absolutely, have the answer, yeah. Right? Or well, like
sometimes.
The other potential problem to that though is like I don't want to be a single blocker.
Yes.
The other thing is you don't want to be the person that always has to go dive into and learn where they're at because they've spent a day right in the problem.
They're coming with way more information than you have
in order to make the decision, right?
100%.
So either guide them like at like what would you do, or you give me some options. What are some options that you come up with out of this stage? What do you think the direction should be to go? And like prompt them into the next phases, because then
I like that a lot.
The next time they go through it, it should be go through it. This is the way we build reports. These are the steps we take kind of thing. So you can mm-hmm. help guide, I think, some of that learning and start to help people think or critically think about the information and the data that they're engaging with on a daily basis. And the hope is over time, they care about it. Like, and I say care, but the business, the data starts to have business meaning, right? Mm-hmm. I think you're the most effective in organizations as a business intelligence developer when you can look at a data set and you know what it means. Like you can compile, you know what the business logic behind these things are and why it's there. And like when you're looking at scripts, you're describing them in business logic, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So we start with this table. We're interjoining to this one because we want to strip out these records because the da-da-da-da-da-da, right? All this is tacked on metadata, all, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think those are some of the steps that like I've used. And I think will like start to drive people into like thinking about data or the process by which we have to follow to really drive insights and reports or valuable reporting.
So I want to go on your point here just real quick, Seth. Tommy, before you jump in here, Seth, I really like your point here, and I think this is something that is part of who you are at some level, and you can probably learn. Again, this is another learned thing here. So I have kids. I have three kids. There is a lot of why questions that are occurring, right? There's a whole bunch of information here that's like they ask you a bunch of, and so not that I'm trying to make the so don't clear make maybe make myself clear here. I'm not trying to liken employees or people in a company to kids, but I feel like this is a similar kind of analogy that I see in my own family. And actually, much to my family's like disappointment, I probably do this too much to some degree. But I get less questions than my wife does about things around what's going on and how things are happening around the house, because I don't just give answers. I don't just regurgitate the solution all the time. So the kids will ask me, and they've learned, I mean, to some degree, maybe I've squelched some of the questions because I make them think critically about everything, but I want to teach critical thinking to them. And so, you know, two examples. One would be like, okay, you know, someone was walking, running around the house and they bumped into something and something crashed and fell on the floor, broke. And then I instantly go into who broke the thing. And I'm going down to root cause analysis. Oh, so-and-so was running around the house. Okay, well, why were you running? Oh, I was just trying to get away from so-and-so. Was that a wise decision? No. Now, who's going to clean this up? And like kind of going through like a bit more of like your actions and the sequence of actions that you took caused some sort of outcome that was undesirable. So, and then usually the wrap-up is, how are we going to change that? How are we going to do things differently next time? I shouldn't run the house. Okay. The principle here is we don't run in the house because stuff gets bumped and knocked over and people get hurt. So we're not going to run in the house. That's the principle here. And then I can also see the same thing too. Like when kids ask questions about, hey dad, why is the sky blue? Simple things. And then I would say, instead of giving them the answer, well, what do you think it's doing? What do you think's up there? And start having some kind of thought around like, okay, what comes through the atmosphere? What's up there? We have air that's up there. And what makes the air have color, and just starting to think about things with them. And again, that might be just kind of a very crazy example there, but I'm thinking like, as my kids are asking questions, I'm not necessarily giving them the answer. But again, to your point, Seth, I'm asking people to dig in a little bit, like why, what's the why?
Right.
And I think you did a presentation, Seth, around like you continually ask the why multiple times and why and why and why. And if you get a couple layers deep here, you start pulling back the onion of what is really occurring, then you can get down to some of these core root causes or fundamental issues. So those are kind of like, I was thinking as you were saying that, I was like, I feel like I do this with my own family. And again, they hate me for it. They're like, dad, just tell me the answer and move on. I'm like, that's not what I want to teach you though. I want you to think about this stuff so you can actually have some real thoughts. Come to me instead and saying, dad, isn't it interesting how the sky is blue because of this, this, and this? Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's explore that idea a little bit more. Let's think about more about how cool that is and how interesting that you know, the designer that has been. So like just things like that make me feel like, oh yeah, we should think about things critically like that in that way. Sorry.
I love that you said that. And I find it incredibly, incredibly powerful that you bring up you teaching your kids now about this and how important that is. The more I'm seeing this in our conversation, the more this skill, if we're going to call it a skill, is closer to a language skill than it is to like a technical or DAC skill. Think about what you're doing if you learn two languages. You need to take your primary language and translate that, process that, and then output the right result like from your own language to the other. And very much what you're doing and what this critical thinking is taking a problem and having to translate it based on the technology, what's going on, and being able to translate that to an answer. And I think that's a huge part of this, where this skill is a language-based skill to me. It's very much in that same realm of how you process. If anyone out there knows two languages, it's a brief of the bit of the same idea, especially learning with kids young. Mm-hmm. I do want to bring up, and I think this is really important as we get near the conclusion, is there a way to evaluate? Because I think if we're going to help our team, our clients, ourselves, right, we need to know where we're at. I don't think there's a golden goose or one training course where we're all going to be on the same level. There's obviously levels to this. Is there a way to evaluate or measure the skill or the quality of someone's ability to critically think? Because we need to know where we're at before we know what we can learn or where we need to go, especially from a skill. If I don't know time intelligence, or I don't know the past tense in Italian, I need to start there. And I think of the same way, is there a way to do that? Like with all of your team, Seth, what do you think there's a way to kind of evaluate who's better or who's worse at critical thinking? Why are they? And kind of gauge that, so then we can actually start some training around that to level people up.
Yeah. I mean, the level up certainly is, I think, part of having a standard process of development, right? Like I mentioned, right? And guiding users with options or forcing them to work through these processes on their own. I think the outcomes are efficiency and individuals that are solving their own problems and coming up with solutions on their own completely from end to end, right? And you can see that in how the estimates, the development, and those sorts of things like start to take place. Of all of the Marcus Aurelius chats going on, right, in the side here, I do think there's a key point in here too, though. And I think about the areas of the business that I'm extremely strong in understanding and have done a lot of critical thinking around and have a very clear idea of the data and how to drive insights and do all these things versus the area that I don't, there was a sense of urgency, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that is also a key part of just either maybe some people have it, like maybe there's an inner drive to understand and know the information that they're doing things with versus not. Right. Because I think in general, like you can do it in both ways. Like I said, there's one area I didn't have to worry about. There was another person taking care of it. I didn't need to engage nearly as heavily as an extremely urgent area. Right. Mm-hmm. And I know that one backwards and forwards. I don't know this one over here. So there is a component of like that sense of urgency and how do you build that within your own workforce as well. But those would be kind of, I think, having the overall process, learning these skills, learning how we can start to think critically across these steps and understand that there's different components that we can help people, including ourselves, work through and engage in, just helps us develop better solutions, because all of these have almost direct correlations to like actual things I would be doing when I develop a report.
Right.
I'd also say here too, I mean, I think a lot of this too is, as a leader inside your organization, you need to identify the people who are good at this and do some peer programming with people who are not as good at this. That's right. So I think you kind of know who's able to take on a task and able to produce good, insightful reports with little to no requirements. They can empathize, they can listen, they can come up with good looking reports. So I think we know in our organization how that works. I think our challenge becomes is taking the knowledge out of those individuals that know it and helping others who don't know it or don't even know they don't know it, helping them pair. And so I think when, you know, I'm working on some organizational rollouts of Power BI for some customers, you know, big roles. I mean, we have a lot of things that are happening, or a lot of effort that's going to be taking place here. And a lot of this is very identifying who in your team is the strongest and really encouraging some peer programming. You know, again, Tom, and to your point, I don't know how to use calculation groups, you may say, or I don't know how to do XYZ things, or I don't know how to, and so, or someone comes in and says, I've built this really complex DAX thing. And I don't understand why I'm just really struggling to figure out how to make it work. When experts come into that situation, usually what happens is
They just,
and 9 times out of 10 for me, it's been recently, I have this really complex DAC statement. Someone comes to me and says, I can't get this thing to work right. It's so complex. I don't understand. And I look at it and go, your data model is wrong. Your problem wasn't where you were looking. You were looking at this very external, you know, your issue is the DAX, but actually standing back and saying an expert came into this and looked at it and said, you know what? If we just added this extra column, actually, literally the other day, I was working on a problem where we had a time intelligence issue. And by adding one additional column, like the year or month index column, by adding that single value into the data model, all the formulas that we were trying to do were 10 lines long went down to 2 and could have been written in one line, basically. So by simplifying the data model or adding one column or something here, you have that perspective. Again, it's having the empathy and having some of the experience here. You can have people that come in. And I think really, for me, it's a lot around identifying who are those leaders, those thought leaders in your organization that already have some good critical thinking skills. And how do you pair them? How do you allocate time to them to be able to mentor part of the other team? Because if you do that, the majority of your team will become more capable. You'll get better performing reports and better use out of those reports for all people on the team. And that's really, I think, impactful when you start scaling things out. It's, you know, you're scaling out the skills on your team. And then people who don't know, they're missing those skills by them working with someone who has them. They'll identify, oh, I should learn these things. This is interesting. You know, this would be good for me to know how to do this stuff. Anyways, that's kind of where my thoughts are going now. Yeah, power hours. Yeah. Kratos BI or Chris Wagner was, power hours are awesome. A power hour is bringing a bunch of experts together. It's like, and I listened to Car Talk. I think it was a long time ago on the radio. They had this segment called Stump the Chumps, right? You know, come in with a bunch of questions and ask a bunch of things. And so you're having these people who are familiar with regular challenges, getting hard questions and just being around people that are doing that. And we hope that, you know, people are saying here in the chat, we really appreciate you all in our listeners, but you guys are like, hey, this podcast is helping me level up. It's helping me think critically about other things. That's the goal. Like, get yourself around other people that have been doing this longer than you have and try to learn from them. I love learning from the Italians. They have great articles. I read them all the time. I don't understand all of them all the time, but I'm reading them all the time. But I think that's the idea here, is I'm trying to put myself in places where I feel uncomfortable. Put myself in places where I'm learning, and I'm trying to you know, be around people who are doing a better job of this than I am, so I can continue to accelerate and do bigger things throughout the career and for companies.
So one last thing, and for those, by the way, who think that you're learning critical thinking on this, you're misunderstanding that for just being critical. So, but
this is just thinking that is critical as opposed to critical thinking.
We're just very critical towards each other. But Seth, one thing in the article that you sent, I think maybe the best way to segment, because I'm stuck right now on how can I benchmark critical thinking skills. And like to evaluate someone, and I probably won't sleep tonight thinking about this, because there's got to be a way to do that. But one of the things in the article on critical thinking was breaking down problems. And mm-hmm. I think that mm-hmm. to me, that's out of a lot of this that we're talking yes. about. If you don't yeah. see that process in someone, there's no critical thinking. And I think that
and
is,
but it's teachable though. You can teach people yes, how to break teachable. Down the problem. Yes. That's the yeah. teachable part you're looking yeah. for. Yeah.
And I think that's like, to me, that would be the biggest identifier.
Yeah. Cause breaking down that DAX problem was like, okay, is this a problem with DAX?
Right. Going through.
Or is this yeah. a problem with how your model's looking like? Right. Like maybe there's something else here we got to start right. looking at.
Like my biggest yeah. frustrations come when it's like, I need you to Google something when you're asking me a problem. Like people on the team, like, did you look it up? So, anyways.
Love it.
I like Dan's comment. Critical thinking skills matrix. Seth Bauer, next blog post. Like,
yeah. You've been signed up, Seth. You've been signed up. Yeah. Well, with that,
I'm glad we spent time talking about it, because data in this vein of thinking about how do we make sense of the information before we start and go and try to visualize it, right?
Yes.
And so
yes.
We could probably talk ad nauseum in different ways in which we do that. I think it aligned well with the critical linking skill sets mm-hmm. Within here. So a huge, absolutely huge part of our report build process, and in Enrico with another great blog to get us going on talking about something. So
How about that for another random tangent for an hour? There we go. Well, either you're leveling up or you're just critically thinking about everything at the end of this one. So we appreciate everyone on the podcast. We appreciate everyone on the chat. We really enjoy talking and working out these ideas. I think, again, a lot of this is more the fluffy side of Power BI to some degree. It's not so tactical at this level. So we really appreciate everyone participating. Our only ask is if you like the podcast, if you like what you're hearing here, please share it with somebody else. Clip Tommy saying something funny, clip Seth saying something funny, maybe clip Mike saying something smart or ingenious, you know, whatever you want to do. You guys are shaking their heads at me right now. So we would really encourage you, please share the podcast. Let other people know you're enjoying it and having fun. The more community we can bring around this, I think the better the conversation gets. And we learn from others. This is the point. We don't know it all. We just know some things. And the more people we can get and the more experiences and backgrounds we get in this, the more fun I think this becomes. So with that, Tommy, if you're not watching the podcast on the video, where else can you find the podcast? If you're taking a bike ride, dodging cars, whatever,
should we tell whatever it may be. Now, or should they tell them how to problem solve, how to figure out where to listen to an audio?
Yeah, how do you find the podcast?
How would you find a podcast that's not a video?
Mm.
Well, we're going to tell you anyways. It's Apple, Spotify. We need the listens. Apple, Spotify. Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Make sure to subscribe. We have 159 episodes now. This is why I love this. I love you guys and having these conversations. This is what it's all about today. So make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, share the podcast.
Almost 160 hours of useless jabber.
Useless critical. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone, very much. We appreciate all of your time. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.